The sonographer folds the snaps, bins paper towels, then pitched between practiced solicitude and tact, asks, do we want to see the screen? We stray wide over Beale Moor to mark my way at 40 years, knee high amongst the heather's cure and cotton grass's tousle flares. For two small dawdling boys you draw these flits of bubbles on the breeze, that pink and kiss a dry stone wall and take the grip of blackthorn trees, or lift clear like a diver's breath so hikers watching from the rise would see four solitary specks stare at unassuming sky. First in a sequence of eight, Thistledown / Cottongrass forms one of the folk song sets, as Chris Jones describes them, that was first published as a pamphlet by Shoestring Press back in 2013. The audible pause between asks, do we want to see the screen, and we stray wide over Beale Moor in the physical book is the vault between page 52 and 53, between the two sections of this ballad poem. This small innovation successfully juxtaposes the two personal anecdotes and amplifies the power of both. Combine this with Jones's knack for finding the right words, and you're onto a winner. These flits of bubbles on the breeze, that pink and kiss a dry stone wall. I mean, how good is that? Pink and kiss. Fatherhood is identified as one of the main themes of the book, and indeed, it crops up quite a lot. Quite a lot. It is that knack, that patience and craft in waiting for exactly the right word that redeems some of the material that might verge on the more mawkish. Miniatures, for example, a sequence that focuses on family life, would otherwise be in danger of just being mere family snaps. But I believe, as the following three short poems from that sequence demonstrate, that the vigour of Jones's language overcomes the danger of sentimentality. 1. Just before you give in to sleep, I think how, in the dimness, you'll speak to me in riddles, or rehearse to the clock face soft non sequiturs. But your questions without answers are harder than the stars whose failing signals dust our room. You promise me? How long now? Was it the moon? 9. We come on those born sleeping by the gates, gravestones tended by solitary dates, dressed with stuck-eyed dolls, tissue frills for flowers, a paper windmill I let you spin until it purrs, before we seek out butterflies and spiders. Jones's instinct for knowing when to stop, in that poem especially, I think is almost brutal. The dark material of taking a child to a graveyard and looking at children's graves is something that Jones pulls off with aplomb. But he also proves a remarkable lyricist in that same sequence. 5. You call along our ginnel to catch its echo, the way you caw at rooftop crows, or blow my arm to try the sound of skin, or slap your hands against this mossy wall, vowels fan out like petals around you. Miniatures seems the perfect example of somewhat predictable material. Jones seems stubbornly middle-aged in his choice of subject matter, that is rescued by solid writing. That's not, however, the case everywhere. An Invitation, for instance, one of only seven standalone poems in the book, is a good example of stodgy writing. An Invitation. A taxi, Chinatown to hate, compels my Polish guide to state, as we crisscross the grid of streets, your Chinese worker never sleeps. He asks what's pushed me out this way, this wet September on the bay. An Englishman with scripts and notes, a quill of post-its scrawled with quotes. I'm here, I say, to meet Tom Gunn, poet, expat, citizen. As admirable as the choices in craft are in this poem, the rhythm, for instance, perfectly capturing the light-headed mood of a young person meeting their hero for the first time, it feels like pure make-weight, that first stanza. Especially when you consider the strength of the line that begins the second. Tom shows me round his airy home of lacquered timbers banked with tomes, a spruce, clean-cut civility like light that shelves in from the sea. Could we not just have started there? But moments of self-indulgence like this, a few and far between in the book. The achievement of the poem Sentences, for example, which was once nominated for the Forward Prize Best Single Poem, is undeniable. Falling somewhere between Armitage's sprightly conversational style and Blake Morrison's formal tact, Sentences manages to feel authentic all the way through its 7 subsections. Its adherence through its 2-line, brittle-seeming stanzas to a regular rhyme help to make the voice seem authentic without being too somber. I took Alim for a dealer and asked him straight. Yeah, cunning, aren't I? Not a punt in the dark for a savvy cleaner to be touting goods to milky-eyed junkies in his neighbourhood. I thought how flocks of tenors circled each wing. There were pink official forms I wouldn't fill in. This lad sells weed, cut skag, twists of crack, as most of what I'd learnt wasn't up for grabs. The formal choices made in the handling of this material from Jones's experience working in prisons make it, to my mind, one of the most interesting poems in the volume. Another standout sequence of poems, which will be of particular interest to fans of Steve Ely's brand of regional English myth-making, will be Death and the Gallant. This series of 10 Petrarchan sonnets, judging from the extensive epigrams and endnotes, have clearly been well-researched. That said, if Reformation-era politics and theological debate aren't your thing, then you're probably better off steering clear of the middle of this book. Though I would suggest that the syntactical variety, that is, the use of long and short sentences, as well as having characters, helps make them accessible and appreciable by people who wouldn't be interested in the subject otherwise. Here's Spirits, the 9th poem in the sequence. The woods are free with spirits. Fairies, elves, they moth my thoughts, now dawn makes light of me. I'd bless my boots to find such company. Plagued as sprites are to bide amongst themselves in dank and dappled corners of the realm. Look how few they have become, how airy under oak sway, waning almost to memory. We listen. For miles downwind, the clamour of bells. Brown lies close in Sunbury's dainty house, a knife and Bible set beside his bed. Blessed the man who wakens to a chorus, to panes of green and gold on a stream's rapt flood. Hail skies, thick blossom and high-domed boughs, even if his gentle friends have flown or fled. At 12:99, with a limited edition CD, which by the way I think is a brilliant idea, Longbarrow Press's Skin is pretty pricey. But, as Ian Buckley pointed out about The Footing, Longbarrow Press's 2013 anthology of walking poems, The book is superbly designed and produced. The book's production qualities are exemplary. Angry Woman, Running Woman. Two George Fullard sculptures, Upper Chapel, Sheffield. From Jigs and Reels. First the searchlights, then the thunder. A woman bolts across the square. High-stacked heels, stole-folded shoulders, raindrop earrings, slicked-back hair. To sketch her now, thin knees and elbows, ridge a pleated velvet gown. I have her nose as beaky shelf, a crow that clatters midnight boughs. I sculpt her hurtling from alarm in casts that gauge the clipping gait of one who's tripped and braced by time for running always, always late. Glance backwards, bombs begin to fall like flowers sent to pin her hair. But she's street lengths beyond recall, her tail of perfume blown to air.